Okay. So welcome to our ERC, our full group call. That's the end of the month call that we usually do. And we're here to support you in whatever way you need. Best way, if you have labs or something, is to fill out the RSVP form that we send you in the emails. And that really helps me because I start to see those float in and I know kind of what to expect. And my mind is starting to go to you and look things up and all that. So great way to do it. Susanna did that today. And Diana did some successes. So I want to read Diana's first because I always like to start the call with, you know, on a positive note. And Diana, you're so good at that. Even when things are a little struggling and challenging for you, you're always good at just keeping your, keeping your positive attitude, which I like. Okay. Here we go. So Diana says, on celebrations, lots of planting going on in the garden, getting more spring-like every day. Yay. More movement, more fresh air, more sunshine, more green, leafy, wild things for green smoothies, feeling a bit more energy and stamina, and for sure a brighter outlook and mindfulness. So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. And for everybody, you know, we all have things that go wrong in our lives, right? And it really does help to keep that positive outlook and always look for that silver lining. So I love how you're always doing that. Appreciate that. And I also loved how you posted in Sweet Spot earlier, and we're encouraging people with your story about the eyes, because, you know, your story about your eyes is really empowering that you fortunately were able to reverse that. And it was seen before anybody ever detected it on blood work.
Oh yeah, way before.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the eye doctor. So.
Say that again.
That was the first indication that I had diabetes was the eye doctor.
Yeah, and you were not in numbers where you would actually say you had diabetes. You were having diabetic retinopathy before you were you never got diagnosed with diabetes. You just had an insulin resistance problem that was causing the changes. And that's what's really important for people to know, is that when you can get that detected, like that eye doctor was great, but had your doctor done an A1C or fasting insulin might have caught it, but the changes in the retina. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the only reason I really got my eyes checked is because my husband lost vision in his eye and he's been diabetic for 20 years.
And wow. Oh, so it wasn't just for a routine eye exam for your glasses.
No, I have to get checked for glaucoma because I have it in my genetics.
In your family.
Yeah, so I have, and when he said, you need to get your diabetes under control, I said, what?
I don't have diabetes. He's got diabetes.
Yeah. I said, no, I don't. So we went back and forth like that. But then, yeah, and then when I went to tell the doc, he just laughed. No, you don't.
I think it's kind of sad that you would laugh at somebody having retinal changes. You know, that's kind of sad. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it goes against the way you were taught that, okay, this woman doesn't have blood sugars in the 120s, so why should I worry? But it would, to me, you know, if something goes against what I've been taught, I want to investigate it and I want to know. So thank you for sharing that with everybody.
It is important because I really had no clue. I wouldn't have until I woke up blind the way things were going. I mean, who knows? If I could have that kind of damage with, you know, fairly normal, you know, blood sugars.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you get the lab results? I didn't see any in your chart.
No, I didn't see anything coming today. So all right. For it. But next call, maybe they'll be in.
Next call. Yeah. I think there's one next week, actually. Week after, whatever. Whenever, we'll get it. Okay, great.
I was checking. See how long I'm going to wait and figure out that.
Yeah, it depends. The blood spot fatty acid usually come, they both usually come back within 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been 10 days at least on the Dutch. So,
yeah.
Blood spot just went in last Monday. So,
oh, yeah, that'll be a while. I mean, just when you think about the time it takes to get to the lab, process, and then the time it takes to get back from the lab, and then you have to add the processing in the middle, and then there's weekends, and they don't work on weekends. And, yeah. Okay.
I do have the one from last June, so we'll be able to compare.
We'll be able to compare. Good.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the numbers change on that first one.
Good. Good. Yeah, we'll look. Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, hang in there, everybody. Spring's here.
Yay. I love it. I went out for a nice run today, and it was just lovely, and I've been trying to do that every day just because that outdoor, the activity, the movement, the sunshine. So we have Susanna who has some labs I'm going to go over with her, And then who else has something? Just so a show of hands so I know how much. I don't want to, I want to make sure I leave time for everybody. Who else has something that you want to discuss or a lab you want to go over or something tonight? And it may just come up as we go through, as we go through. So nobody has anything pressing, but I'm sure we're going to have stuff to share. All right. So I still don't know who 513 is. And I saw Annette come on. Hi, Annette. And now let's go ahead. Now, first of all, is it okay if I share the screen so it's your labs are showing?
That's fine.
It's okay? Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure. Otherwise, I'll look at them and have to explain it. And it's much easier if I can
share
my screen. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up your lab. I'm going to start with your Master Health Tracker. Go to the lab page. And is your supplement page up to date?
Not quite. I will have it before the, I went over it today and I've got to input it. I will definitely have it done at the end of this week, but definitely before when you do the genetic thing you have signed up for,
right.
Because I think that will be pretty revealing. So
yes, but I'm going to ask you to do.
If you have them.
Say it again.
I can answer any questions you can have, and there haven't been very many changes.
Okay. I may go through that because I'm seeing things on here that will suggest that there's certain things you need. Now, as far as you and for everybody, if you have your genetics, but you haven't gotten that new test, the genetic detoxification one done, highly recommended. It's well worth the $30 to get it because it's going to really, it may not make sense to you initially when you get it, but it will make a lot of sense to you after we go through it on the call because it's organized in categories. So I saw you have the Stratagene up there.
I have the new one too, and I also got the book.
Oh, you did? Okay. I didn't see the new one up there, but okay. All right. I'll look at it for a minute. All right. I'm going to move that over here. So can you guys see the screen? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so it looks like your glucose is creeping up. And when we looked at your A1C, it's creeping up.
Yep.
I tried to see if you had any more recent diet diaries with the blood sugars, and I don't see them. Have you been taking them yourself and just not uploading?
Well, I can kind of tell you what I've done. The more plant-based I go, the higher my blood sugar goes.
Okay, because what do you add when you go more plant-based? Is it the grains? Is it legumes?
No, I don't do grains. About the only legumes I do occasionally, but I haven't done recently, tempeh, the fermented grainless tempeh that we can get here in Austin. I don't do a whole lot of fruit. I really don't. I'm not sure it's my diet doing this.
I will tell you what I think it is based on your previous years. It was the adrenal combination, the adrenal and the sex hormone test, the saliva it looked like. Your stress levels are off the charts. Your cortisol levels are off the charts on that one.
Okay, but I don't perceive myself as being stressed out.
That's what's interesting, okay? Yeah, so you have, and your gut stuff, I looked at your gut stuff, not too bad. I mean, there is some dysbiosis in the sense of the commensal bacteria are out and some of your probiotic organisms are out. That was about a year ago. So
right.
At the end of this call, I would like to be able to give you some tests to redo,
okay. And
especially to redo before we do the genetics, because then we can kind of see where you're at now, what your genetics are saying, and then how we can recommend that you proceed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to have you write these down.
Yes, ma'am. I got a paper pad.
Right. I'm going to write them down too on my paper. I don't see Lynn on because she was sometimes takes those.
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, you are. Okay, good.
It wasn't letting me in before.
It wasn't letting you in. Oh, no. So if you can keep notes on what I tell Susanna, and then just, she doesn't have a chart like the others that are in gold. But because she's not, I haven't had a private consultation with her. So just create one of those, you know, just copy one of them and make a new.
Yeah, that's what I do with the other silver people.
Beautiful, beautiful. And that way I'll have something to go at. Here's the thing. I wish I remembered everybody's details from one call to the next. And I get the general global idea, but the little details of whether this was high, I know you said APOE4-4. I saw you have an MTHFR.
A lot of them.
Yeah, and then MTARs, and you have some low B12 indicators in your blood. So that I remember now. But right. Give me a week or two and about 10 other labs I've looked at, and I'm going to get you all mushed together, and that's why I like to have them in front of me, and that's why I like to have the notes, okay?
All right.
So the glucose is a concern. Yes. I think, have you ever done any of those programs like Chronometer or MyFitnessPal or any of those where you can have an app and you just type in what you're eating?
I have done those.
Okay. So can you get, whatever one you have, I like Chronometer. I'll tell you why. Because you have a lot of low indicators for nutrients on your NutriVal and your organic acids.
Right. Okay? Right.
And what I want to see, I like Chronometer, maybe the others do it too, but Chronometer gives us a real good assessment of each and every one of those micronutrients. And then you can see what foods you're eating that contain them and what foods that, I can just eat more of the green beans and that will give me more of the whatever. But, or you can see other foods that you need to maybe add to your diet to get some of that. Yeah, we don't get everything we need from supplement from food because of things being depleted, but we want to be able to get a good, well-rounded group of stuff in there. And I want to be able to see what you're actually eating versus what you're remembering you're eating. Mm-hmm. Cause I know that I never eat this, I never eat that, but then we may see some things. The other thing that you can do with one of those programs is you can either keep track on a separate page or in there, in the notes field, you can keep track of your glucose levels. So we can start to see if there's a pattern, right? Because stress, you say, I don't feel like I'm stressed, but are you consider yourself like what I call a hypervigilant, meaning you want everything to be just so. You want to make sure you do it right.
I do. I am like that, and I'm trying to kind of let go of that.
It's a hard one to let go of because it's genetically programmed, and we have to work hard at that. I'm like that too, but I've had to let go of it a lot. Nobody would think of it just that I'm like that to look around at my office, but that's another story. So that's some of the stress. Like you may not be the, oh my God, the world is falling apart. I'm really stressed out. But you may have these other subtle things, these perfectionistic desires and needs that may be driven partially by the genetics and then also driven by habit. So that's the kind of stuff we want to break. I looked at your stool test from a year ago. I don't see any signs of a severe infection type of thing in there. Like, yeah, there's a little bit of dysbiosis kind of going on, but nothing terrible. And I also look at your labs here and I don't see anything that would suggest that you have a bad infection. Cause sometimes that's what drives the cortisol up is having that. Yeah. I don't also see your insulin. So write this down. I want you to get a fasting insulin.
I have one. It was 5.
Oh,
should be in there.
That's not bad. I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it.
Okay. No, it's 5.
It's 5. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So then we might want to get you a postprandial and see what it is, but we'll wait. Wait on that. Okay.
I spike postprandial, at least using the Libre Freestyle.
You did the Libre?
Even if I'm eating like just greens and some nuts and stuff, I'll have a 15-20.
15-20 is fine. 15-20 is fine, even up to 25. But yeah, more than that, it doesn't go that high?
It will sometimes go that high.
Sometimes. But does it ever go like to really high numbers, like 130, 140, 150, 160?
Yes, if I eat root vegetables.
Okay, starches.
Starches, but not carrots. That's strange. You would think carrots.
Cooked versus raw carrots. Did you try both?
I tend to lightly steam vegetables just because of my digestive issues.
Yeah.
So it was most likely lightly steamed or just a small amount shaved in.
Okay. So carrots, that's great that you get away with the carrots. Sometimes they're fine raw, but they spike cooked. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. For me, that's what happens because you activate the sugar. The sugar becomes more bioavailable. When you cook it, you break down that cellulose fiber and the sugar can get into the cells more quickly. And that's why. Okay. So that's the main thing. Not a lot of terrible stuff in your labs. So it's really going to be a matter of let's get this figured out. Okay. So your calcium wasn't high before. It's slightly high before, slightly high now. Sometimes it's because vitamin D is too high. Your vitamin D was like, it wasn't too high. It was fine. But also adrenal issues can raise it up. Okay. It could be parathyroid, and that's the glands that are around the thyroid. They're not related to the thyroid in function. They're related to calcium metabolism, but there's four little parathyroids, and parathyroids can shoot the calcium up. Yours is real borderline. So I'm more inclined right now to just say, let's watch that. If it was a temporary beep and then it comes back down, or if it continues to stay a little bit higher, moving up higher, then we'll talk about what you should do.
Right.
Okay. Your cholesterol numbers are still off, but they're better. Your protein, your globulin and your AG ratio. And let me see if I see your protein, your total protein.
The protein finally went green this time, I think.
It went green. Yeah. And the globulin is better than it was. It's 1.8. Actually, when it's high or low, it suggests low levels of globulin. Here, when it's high or low levels of protein, but when it's high, it generally can tend to indicate an allergic or an immunologic reaction. So you definitely got some protein issues. And my suspicion, based on looking at your other labs with the nutrients and a lot of minerals low, is that you may have low stomach acid.
And I am going out. I took some Swedish bitters for a while because I know that you are supposed to do that. And I ran out, so I've just been going out and picking epazote and dandelions. And I've got some really bitter sage, so I've been going out picking a handful of those and eating them. And then I do take four pills of Premier Research HCL, and I think it was you told me to do it at the beginning of the meal and then do my digestive enzymes later, and I use the Transformation Digest, three of those, along with a Triphala, a Berberine, and what's the other one? I can't think. Triphala, Berberine. Oh, I take my phospholipids, my...
Like phosphatidylcholine and acetol.
Well, it's actually Nordic Naturals phospholipids, and that's the APOE44 thing that they, you know, rant and rave about. You have to do that.
Yeah. Well, there's other indicators, too, in the genes that would relate to phospholipids, too. And if cortisol really is, we'll look real quick again, but if cortisol really is elevated like that, phosphatidylserine may be a good one for you to be taking.
Right. And I do have that in a brain compound that Susie Cohen does. It has phosphatidylserine, ginkgo biloba, huperzine. It has a bunch of stuff in there. I think that's in my...
Okay, we'll look at that. We'll look to see if it's enough.
Because I don't know when to take it.
Well, yeah. Do you have any trouble sleeping? You have trouble falling asleep? Yes. So I would definitely take one at bedtime.
Okay.
And then I would take one in the morning. And I'll look back at your, let me look, it's right here. Your TTT. It was, oh, here we go. When I looked at the numbers here, they don't look bad, but then when they mapped them, because every lab has a different set of ranges, and for me, it's slightly different. But this is what it shows for your cortisol pattern. Look how much higher you are. Have you ever gotten a Dutch test?
No.
I would recommend a Dutch test.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would do that, you know, now. This is like a year and a half ago. So okay. Back in the day, it looks like your cortisol pattern was very high. See how it's above the high and low? Wait a minute. Oh, this is different ones. High and low. Never mind. I thought this was yours. And this was one date of yours, and this was the other. So it was coming up. Yeah, let's do it again and see where it's at.
Okay.
Mistake. No, it's not high. Before you start taking it, you can take phosphatidyl, that brain thing, at bedtime for sure. Because if you look here, even then, it was higher at bedtime than it was earlier in the day, and it's not supposed to go in that direction. It's supposed to go down.
Right.
Okay. So you could take it at bedtime. I would be cautious about taking it during the day until we see a more recent test and see if it's warranted, but definitely take it at bedtime.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And your DHA is on the low side. It's actually very low because the most recent, I can't tell which one is the most recent one. Let's see. This one is, where does it say? 22756. 22756 is the orange one, right? So it looks like your cortisol got better from the first one to this one, but your DHEA got worse.
Yeah.
Right. And so, let's look at the Dutch and then we maybe can really address it. I don't know, when you got this done, were there specific nutrients, foods, et cetera, that you did to try to correct it?
I took some bioidentical hormones and those didn't do anything. They did nothing. It was a waste of money. So I stopped. I actually got worse on one of my blood tests on the bioidentical hormones, and they were done by Sabre Science, S-A-B-R-E, out mm-hmm. of California.
Mm-hmm.
Know with those. And I'm like, I'm wasting my money, and this is costing me a...
Their stuff's expensive. They customize it for their test.
Hit on that stuff, and that's real. It's customized, but didn't work.
Okay. I've had good results with some people that it has worked, but it's, you know, it's just a matter of other things going on. You can't just throw a customized hormone cream and expect it to work without addressing some of the other issues. So let's look at your Dutch, because that's going to give us some good information and it's going to be more recent. And in terms of your gut, I would say, let's look at that again. If you're still having some symptoms, but even if not, if you did, if you did some addressing some of this stuff and you haven't retested it, we don't know if what you did worked or didn't work, made it worse, made it better, or whatever. So
what test do you want?
I personally like, just because I read them more often, the doctor's data, comprehensive. And we have it on our website, or you can order it directly from Direct Labs if you want to. But it's the comprehensive with parasitology times three, although I don't see that it's warranted. And if you don't have parasite type signs, this one says no parasites. I don't know if this was a three stool collection or just a one.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't remember.
If it was a one, then you might want to do another one. If it was a three, I mean, but given what, you know, the malabsorption stuff we're seeing with you, mm-hmm. I would love to see that. It doesn't cost much more to do the parasitology.
Okay, so okay? Doctor's data, and I can get that through your website?
You go on the website and you look for the stool, doctor's data, and you look for the stool test with the parasitology and the, it says comprehensive and with the parasitology, not just the parasitology, but the comprehensive with the parasitology. And Lynn, if you don't mind, if you could look up on our lab test page and find the right test for her, that would be helpful. And just the link, right? You just click where it says order and you can click that link and we can get right to that and I can make sure that that's the right test. All right. So back here we have...
Now, I have a question about chronometer. Can you share that? I mean, like, if I was putting things on chronometer, could I share that with you or no?
You can if you do the gold, which is like $40 instead of the free, and then they'll let you share your report with me.
So you pay them like $40?
Yeah.
Okay.
You pay them $40 and then they'll let you create the report that's shareable with other practitioners and whatnot.
And how long would you do it? I mean...
Minimum 3 days, but you know,
three
to five would be better.
5 days, okay.
Yeah, but minimum three. And make sure it's not like, oh, today I'm going to eat totally differently than I normally do. Or do it on 3 days when you're traveling and you eat totally not like, just kind of make them, you know, kind of your normal days. And, you know, it's important when you do that to actually, either if you're good at eyeballing or measure like 3 tablespoons versus 5 tablespoons, you may not visually know the difference, but that's how their thing is measuring. And you can get very skewed results if you don't get pretty accurate with it.
Okay.
I mean, I watch my kid, my son, 25, he just sits with his phone after he eats. He goes, blip, 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 blip. So that's pretty easy. And it helps him to keep track. And he's, you know, gotten his body lean and lost some weight and, you know, redistributed. And he's built up muscle all because he's keeping track of everything he eats, as opposed to just being a typical college kid who just eats. All right. So Yes. So that's that. Alk-Fos, zinc usually is a zinc deficiency. And here's why: if you're taking the HCl, but you're not, or you're taking the bitters and you're not actually making the HCl the way you should, it could be a zinc deficiency because zinc's important for that.
And so, I do take zinc with the bitters, and I take a big hit. I take like 30 milligrams pure encapsulated.
Take liquid zinc?
No, pills.
Pills? You want to try liquid? I've found that when people switch to liquid, it gets absorbed better. Or up your dose. 30 milligrams isn't enough, obviously. It's brought it up a little. It went from 44 to 51 in a year, right? But I'd like to see it get up, you know, to the 75 to 80 range.
Okay? So maybe I can just kind of double up till I run out and then
get a liquid. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Premier has a liquid. There's a little more pricey than some of the others because a little more dilute, actually. Trace Minerals has one, but it's so strong that many people get nauseous from it. So I don't always recommend that one. And then Good State has one. And then there's another one, Eon. It's something that Hippocrates sells that are they're much more cost effective and you can take larger doses of it. Okay. Again, we're going to watch this. If you see this, look what happened. Back a year ago, this is a liver enzyme. It was 15, then it was 22, then it was 30. This one was really low, which could have been a B6 deficiency. It came up to 21, it came up to 26. So there's some stress happening on your liver. You're not in a range where we'd say you have a fatty liver, where we would say, but you have a leaning towards it. Do you see what I'm saying? The liver numbers are getting worse over time.
Okay.
So there's some strain on your liver. So supporting your liver is going to be super important.
And I've done that for years. I've taken Zymogen liver support. And when I run out of that, I'm going to switch over to Health Force just to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the Zymogen for so long, but I also, I mean, I really, really don't eat bad. I do eat a little bit of meat. That's the worst thing I do. And I go to Weedsville and I get their organic meat. Mm-hmm. And you know, my one problem with all the green stuff is that I just can't eat tons and tons and tons of it. My stomach just gets so full.
It's full, not upset, but full.
Full, and it's like, I don't want to eat anymore, but I didn't eat 9 servings, you know?
Do you do green smoothies, soups?
Yes.
Yeah, lightly steam and then blend them?
Yes.
Okay. You get to the point where it makes sense for you. You can't force feed yourself beyond the point of full, right? So when they say this is a guideline for how many servings, you may need a little less. Somebody else may need a little bit more. So don't push yourself to the point where like,
well, I think I push myself to food coma, actually, but it's like vegetable food coma.
Not eating too many vegetables, right? Too much is a load on your system.
Right.
So eating less is going to be better than eating more. And we can always supplement in with the extras with maybe some green powders that are concentrated that you can get more of while you're trying to, you know, you're working. But I don't want you to overeat because that's going to raise your blood sugar.
And that might be what's going on because I'm trying so hard to get in a large number of vegetable servings that, you know, I'm just like, I can't eat tonight. I had such a ginormous.
Don't eat then. Here's what I want everybody to hear. Listen to your body. If you've only had 2 servings of vegetables and you get to dinner, you've had a small meal and you're just not hungry, don't eat. When you eat when you're not hungry, when you eat past the point of comfortably full, the food doesn't go anyway. It just turns into toxic waste and gets eliminated. So just follow your body, right? Don't try to force feed yourself.
I think I've been doing that, and that might be part of my blood sugar issue.
Yeah.
I'm suspicious about the stress.
Yeah.
I don't have big stress. I think I have little micro stresses that build up.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I'm the primary, I'm not going to say caretaker. I'm not a caretaker, but I'm the primary life manager of my 94-year-old mother who has Alzheimer's. So I'm managing staff. I'm doing lots of bills and trying to manage money and make it last. She has caregivers, which is wonderful for her. It's kept her alive a long time. But I'm starting to feel stressed out. I've been doing that for 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big stress.
Feel it now.
This is a big stress. Okay. Now, what about heart math? Do you do it?
Yes. Not very good at it, but I do try to do it.
What does that mean? I'm not very good at it. That sounds like a judgment.
I feel like a lot of times it doesn't end up having the effect that it's supposed to have, or that, you know, something's missing and I don't know what.
Okay. So how about if we just suspend the judgment and we just do it? I'm going to give you an example. I meditate. It's taken me years to get to the point where I'm meditating. I've been meditating every day for like the past 2 years or so. And when I do it with a headband that measures my brain waves. And some days I've spent 15, 20 minutes meditating and I'm 5% calm or 10% calm. So I could choose to go berate myself and say, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it right. But okay, so then I can, or I could say, oh, 5% of 10 minutes is X number of minutes. Maybe it's like seconds, but okay, great. I gave myself that calm. And if I wasn't doing the meditation, then I would have been in stress mode anyway. And I'm not, it's not that I'm in stress mode. It's that I'm thinking, my brain is turning on. So when you're doing the heart math, if you just think about it, even if you just get a few seconds of calm and then a few more seconds of calm. That's why I like it, because you can do it throughout the day. And even just taking a moment to focus on your heart and your breath. Go ahead and do that. Just do that. One breath. Everybody should do that. You feel so much different just by doing it once, right? So you just say, okay, I'm going to set my alarm on my phone or my whatever computer, wherever you have an alarm. And every time I hear that alarm, I'm just going to stop whatever I'm doing. I'm going to focus on my heart and my breath and take one breath. And then I'm going to go about whatever I was doing. That alone will make a huge difference in your nervous system, because it's a reprogramming of your nervous system. And especially if you had years of earlier stuff that was stressful, and maybe now life isn't so stressful, but your nervous system's programmed that way. Does that make sense? So to suspend the judgment and just whatever it is, and it's good. And the more you do it, the easier it gets and the more benefit you get. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your congratulations on your iron went up, though. What happened here? What did you do different a year from now till now that could have caused your iron to go up that much?
Eating a lot more greens.
A lot more greens. So you're absorbing your iron.
More greens.
All right. So eat the amount of greens that's comfortable. As long as you're not saying, well, I'm taking yellow dock, or I'm taking an iron supplement, or I'm moved to a new house and we have iron-lined pipes or something, nothing else changed. Is that right?
Not really. I mean, my diet has changed as I've tried to figure out what the heck to do about my gut issues and my blood sugar and eating for my brain with the APOE44, because I used to be pretty, I would say, primal, because mm-hmm. I would eat paleo but have some dairy, not a lot. Then I went to a low FODMAP, strict paleo, and that was when I had my lowest blood sugar but shot my cholesterol way up. Then I kind of did a plant paradox thing, and I couldn't tell that it did anything for me at all. So I've, you know, tried now to do more green smoothies. I mean, I think I've been gradually getting better, gradually eating less meat. I know that I overeat nuts. It's a weakness, because I don't do other bad stuff. I don't ever go get pastry. I'm, you know, a gluten-free yeah. person. I don't ever get pastries. I don't even go for the vegan or the gluten-free desserts because they're so high in carbs. But I do tend to overeat nuts. I
mean, okay, so that could be where the blood sugar is going up. I doubt it's from the vegetables, but the nuts do have a fair number of amount of carbohydrate. And I will find on the occasion that I do overeat nuts or nut butter that my sugar goes up.
Okay.
So I would say that just watch it and restrict yourself to like 2 ounces a day.
Wow.
Okay. Let's just experiment. Let's just experiment, dear. Okay. We're going to experiment. We're going to find your sweet spot with nuts. Find your sweet spot with it. And as you start to write that down in your chronometer, you don't have to change it until after you start to track for 3 days. Because I want to see what you're doing now.
Okay.
All right.
So another question. Does my chia gel count in the nuts?
Yeah. I wouldn't count it.
Because I consume quite a bit of chia gel.
What's quite a bit?
Half cup to a cup a day.
Of it raw or gel?
Gel.
Oh, okay. No, that's easy. That's nothing. I thought you meant like a half a cup to a whole cup of raw chia seeds, then made into a gel. Woo, girl! Yeah, no, that's not a problem.
I have the gel.
Let's do your chronometer. Let's just see exactly how many calories, how much fat, how much carb, how much protein, and how much of all the nutrients. And then we'll sit with that and we'll manipulate it. Okay? All right. Your cholesterol is moving in the right direction.
It's probably always going to be high because the ApoE4. I'm not, and I am trying to now see, this gets into my nut oil thing is, you know, all the conventional or the new conventional wisdom, like Bredesen, Gundry people are saying oil, olive oil.
Zero oil. I'm going to just, whatever they say, zero oil. It's not a whole food.
Well, that's where I do my nuts.
Calories.
That's where I'm doing my nuts, is I'm trying to replace some of that oil.
Whole food. Avocados, olives, coconut, nuts and seeds. Okay, let's do your chronometer and see. But oil is, if people eat a lot of oil, there's no way you're going to lose weight unless you eat tons, unless you don't eat enough of anything else. Because there's ton of calories with nothing but fat. Like, it's the equivalent of white flour. Same thing. It's fractured out. It's the fat pulled out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the good stuff's taken out. Okay, so no. Just cut out the oils, okay? Whole food plant-based fats are fine.
But so, for the chronometer, you want to see what I'm doing right now.
I want to see what you're doing right now. Because I think you'll have it. I think you're going to go, oh. And you're going to have a big aha when you look at it. So just do what you're doing. Don't change anything. Let's get the chronometer, and then let's look at, you might just by itself go, okay, I'm going to cut this out, I'm going to cut this out, you know, because you're going to see probably higher calories than you think you're taking in,
mm-hmm.
and more fat.
And, I know my fat's high, mm-hmm. but I'm not
overweight. It isn't a problem in and of itself, but, okay, so you're going to do the chronometer. Let me ask you this, though. You've had this, you've got the genes done, concerned about the ApoE4, rightly so. Have you done an advanced lipid panel?
That was done years ago.
Let's do a current one because you've changed things. Look at where your cholesterol's come. I want to see what's happening. Your HDLs are actually really, really good.
Yes.
Triglycerides are really, really good.
They are.
Okay. Your HDL, your LDLs are high, but look where they've come from, 231 down to 170. Let's see if they're the large buoyant, the low, the small dense. Let's see if you have the apolipoprotein little a or lipoprotein little a. Let's get that done.
Okay. And what test is that?
It's the advanced lipid panel. If you go to runmylabs.com and you look under cardiac, you'll see the advanced lipid. Does the advanced lipid have the lipoprotein little a in it, or do you have to order that? It does. Yeah, it does. Okay. The other thing, let me look here. I don't remember seeing, but we'll look again. Your homocysteine.
It's been going up.
It's going up, right? So yeah, we want to get that. But that could be because of B12.
I have tons of B12 circulating.
Yeah, it's not getting into the cells. I see it all the time in people with your genetics. Tons of it in the blood, but not.
I did in just a preliminary cursory look at that book is that methyl B12 appears like it's not going to work for me.
Because of the COMTs, yeah. So adenosyl or hydroxy.
I have some hydroxy spray. And then I don't really know what to do with the rest of my B vitamins, but maybe that's something we'll talk about when you look at.
Talk about it again when we see your stuff. Methylmalonic acid is on the high side. You're B12, no doubt about it, you have a B12 deficiency. So your blood is up high, but your methylmalonic acid is 2.1. Your homocysteine is high. Your MCV is high. So you have a B12 deficiency. Okay. And when we go through the genetics on the genetics call, we can, but if you have the hydroxy right now, start it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Your D looks great. Keep it there. Whatever you're doing to D, keep it there.
I supplement and I go outside.
Keep it, whatever you're doing, you keep doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now on your thyroid, and this is the last thing we'll do, and I want to move on to someone else. Okay. Sure. But sure. You got a lot to do right now.
Yes,
All right, so CBC. Here we go. Thyroid. Okay, so you're on very low dose levothyroxine. Is that right? Or Naturethroid? Naturethroid, right?
No, I'm on Armour.
Oh, Armour. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. It's the mix, right?
Like so 120.
And your numbers are really, really low, 0.2. Okay, with your TSH, looks like I only see the free T3, which is decent. It's on the higher end of the normal range, but it's decent. But I don't know what the other numbers are. I don't know what your T4 is. I don't know what your conversion is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I would get a free T4 minimally. I would love to see you have all at the same time, ideally. But since this is only a few days ago, I would say getting a total T4 and a free T4.
Total T4 and a free T4.
Yep.
I'm going to the doctor this week. I can probably just order.
And if they'll give you all of it again, even though it's just a week later or 2 weeks later, TSH, total T4, free T4, free T3.
Okay, total T4, free T4. You want to see the TSH again?
If he'll do it without you having to pay out of pocket for it, get the
I have to pay out of pocket for everything.
So you do?
Yeah,
then just get the other. We'll save your money for the other testing.
Okay, so total T4 and free T4.
Yep, those are the two I would get.
Okay.
All right. Your antibodies are fine.
Mm-hmm.
No sign of antibodies. Your white cell count.
I've got a lot of lead in my system. That's what came back on the metals.
On the metals, okay.
It's lead, my aluminum and mercury, which I was the most scared of, you know, because of the brain stuff, although lead's not good for your brain either, were fine.
Okay.
But...
And what test did you do? Was it a hair mineral or was it a challenged urine or what?
Challenged urine.
Okay. All right.
And cadmium, lead, and thallium were in the yellow range.
Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to look at that in conjunction with your genes. And we don't have time right now to do all that, right? So I want to see your genes and I want to see what your pathways are because I don't want to suggest some metal detox program that's going to tax already taxed pathways. So I want to make sure that we're doing it in the right order, the right fashion. Okay. Gentle detox, but you've got enough to do right now.
Yes.
It'll keep you busy. Okay.
All right.
All right. Great. Thank you. And thank you for letting everybody share your.
Well, thank you for your help. It's sometimes a hard puzzle to unravel.
It is. And to try to do it by yourself is really challenging.
Yeah. Can't do it.
And with the Bredesen protocols, is something that you went to see a doctor trained to do, or you just went through the book and
both
on your own?
Both. I do. The doctor that I'm going to for my physical is Dr. Edwards. I don't know if you know him.
Okay, yeah, you do.
And his associate has been trained in Bredesen, and he's a 3-4. So he's got the problem himself. He has a reason to want to know it. And so he is trained. But right now I feel like, even though that's something I need to be concerned about, and I do need to be doing the supplementation that's recommended, that I'm more concerned about my gut and my detox pathways right now than I'm about my brain. I'm not.
Well, those affect your brain, dear.
Well, and that's why I'm more concerned about them, because I'm doing all the supplementation for the brain. I've just got to make sure that I'm cleaning out the stuff that's going to cause a problem.
Yeah, this is a lot of supplementation. It's a lot of stuff.
It's a huge amount, and I would love for it to be less.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he put methyl B12, which, based on your genes, you're saying this, the COMT is not going to be a good idea.
Right.
COMT. Yeah. No. I know. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get there. But right now I would supplement with the hydroxy, and you have hydroxy, and then look at getting some liposomal B12. Seeking Health has it, and you're just going to start with drop doses. But after you've been on the regular for a couple of weeks, the non-methylated, then you're just going to do a drop and then another drop. And if you start to feel yourself get more anxious or, you know, irritable or conscientious, like, cause you're very detail oriented here, right? You're very much into making sure you do it right. If you start to notice you're a little bit more maybe OCD-ish as a result, or anxious, or like just irritable, then you're taking too much and you have to back down. But usually when you do it at a very slow, gradual pace, you don't overtax that methyl pathway and then have the backup of the methyl groups. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Phew. Who else has questions? Hi, Krishna just joined us. Yay. Hi. So who has stuff they want to work on?
I've got a quick question.
Yes, please.
Okay. So my grandfather, who lived to be in his 80s, I don't know exactly how old he was when he died, had Parkinson's. Okay. You know, basically tremors in his hands and fingers and his mouth. So I was trying to think back to genetic markers, the S&Ps. Are there any markers for Parkinson's? Do you know?
There are some that are associated, and you also have to look at the dopamine markers. So you have to look at the dopamine receptors. If we have a genetic detox, we can pull that up real quick. Do you have one? The genetic detox.
I'll go look for it.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of, in the section on brain, there's the section on there. I don't know if she actually reports the ones on Parkinson's. I was thinking
there might be a marker, but it might not be reported. And
it might not be reported there, but it might be in it. Well, it's definitely in the 23andMe, because it says, it actually asks you when you first go in, there's a marker for Parkinson's. Do you want to know it? Right.
Okay.
So looking at that, you'll be able to tell what that one is too. Right. And if you did the MTHFR support one, which is like the 50 pages of just pages and pages, and you go to you just go to Google or Schnipedia or something, you go Parkinson's related genes and you come up with them, you'll see if you have any of those. But I would definitely look at those dopamine genes.
I mean, you know, the fact, I guess, that my grandfather had it means I've got a chance of having it.
Yeah, chance of, but right. But there's things you do to prevent it.
Anything in particular you can think of that I might not already be doing?
Well, stuff you already know about, but stress is a biggie, because it's the same. The dopamine is the same pathway with epinephrine and norepinephrine. And in, you know, when you activate your adrenals, you actually can deplete dopamine. So, you know, there may be some herbs that you want to consider, you know, putting in your elixir, your smoothie, like, what's that one, Lynn? My brain is going dead on it. It's that one that's got a funny name. And it's kind of it has L-DOPA in it. I hate when that happens. I have so many things in my brain and then I can't access it. Lynn Rose, you know what I'm talking about. It has this funny name and it's like right on the tip of my
head. Lacuna?
Lacuna
Purins?
Lacuna Purins, yeah.
What is it?
Makuna Ferns.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And that supports it. So, because one of the drugs they give people with Parkinson's is L-DOPA. And that Makuna actually will contain some L-DOPA. All right. And then, of course, you know, supporting those pathways and doing your heart math and your muse and your, you know, yeah, meditation.
Some other stuff.
All that other
stuff. Yeah, I think I have some of that powder for that.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember why I got it, though. I think it was in connection with stuff I was doing on GABA, which
it
is
might have been.
The same type of, yeah.
Right. Okay. Just like calm it all down. Calm the whole system down. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay. Great. Good question. All right. Who else? Questions, comments? How can I support you? You all going to do sweet spot with me this time? I know like about 80 of you that can, that clicked on the link that said you get it for free because you're in NEPT or ERC. There's at least 80 of you that said yes. So that's good. Who's not doing it? Who's doing it? It's good to get back on the bandwagon, you know? Good. I ran out of my little patches that I was testing, my Freestyle Libre. I thought I had another set and I didn't. And then I just stopped testing and I can't find my Keto Mojo. I know it's around here somewhere buried under the papers. So I haven't been testing. And so when I don't test, it's not like I eat bad stuff, but I might eat in between meals, or I might, you know, eat too late at night, or I may eat too much of the good stuff because I'm not testing. It's almost like a kid that mom isn't watching. And so now we feel we can get away with it, right?
Question.
Yeah.
And I don't have the literature in front of me to look it up, but does it specify that you have to have it on your dominant arm or anything like that?
It tells you to swap it. So it says to go one arm and then the other.
Because I put one on this month, or the current one, and everything is like in the 50s, and you know, it's just way, way, way low. So I don't know why that arm is acting really. I didn't know if it was a dominant.
Is it still within the first 24-hour period or 48-hour period?
Yeah, because I just put it on last night.
And okay, watch it, because sometimes they're wacky for the first 24 hours. I found that
I've never had it that low.
But sometimes they're wacky. So just watch it. And then always when you get a weird reading like that, just pull out your meter and test it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, because if they're close, like I've had wacky readings and gone, why is my sugar 140? That's crazy. And my poker goes, no, it's 89. And then I realized I had just taken a big dose of vitamin C and it went wacky. Okay. So yeah, but I have noticed that some of those patches every now and then I'll get it. Maybe it's the angle you put it in or whatever, that it just seems like for the first 24 hours, it's a bit wacky and then it stabilizes. So just see how that goes. Yeah. All right.
Got a question.
Question, yeah, go ahead, Diana.
Well, Ted, this is just a little bit of a technical one. I had started in Sweet Spot, and so when I started into ERC, I still had access to Sweet Spot. And I noticed when they started this campaign, I went to look at something on the site, and the Sweet Spot was closed again. So do I need to sign up for that again to get it open?
No, it should be open the whole time. Lynn, would you check her out? Yeah, log in as her, see what you see. And the only reason you had to click the link to sign up again was just to get the reminders. We don't want to bug you with more reminder messages.
I don't need any more reminders. But,
but no, the calls, there's like weekly calls with Sweet Spot.
That's right? Why I didn't sign up.
Some of them are just Sweet Spot calls, and some of them are your vital, which you're already getting reminders for, and some of them are your office hours, right? So in total, it's probably two extra calls a month that if you don't need it, then all you have to do is go into the site. Okay. Go into the site and you'll see the list and just put them all on your. So if you go to this, once we get that open for you, I think what happens is in order to see the current schedule, you have to have clicked that link.
Okay.
But we can somehow tag you so you can see that page. Lynn, will you all get into her and see? Yeah. Sometimes I don't know all the technical details, but I know that like old people won't see the new schedule because they're excluded from that page of seeing the new schedule.
I
told you guys.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I saw that the button was grayed out because I had.
That's not right. That's not right. Put a teamwork test for David. Why would that happen? And it didn't happen to anybody else.
Well, I was on the sweet spot.
Diana, you may have been looking at the sweet spot personalized coaching button.
Oh. Maybe you're looking at the sweet spot personalized coaching button, which would be grayed out.
Yes, that one's grayed out because I'm in as you and I'm looking at the sweet spot solution dashboard.
Look at the recordings page and see if she sees the list of the new calls.
Is yeah. it there? Okay. It must have been the coaching then.
You must have been looking at the coaching.
Yeah. I just kind of spaced out on the.
Well, it's completely understandable because it says, I can tell you for myself. Many times I go to look there, it's like, so
you make it a different picture or something.
It is a different picture, but oh, it's nice. Yeah. So I under sweet spot calls, I see the kickoff calls and the whole calls.
Yep. Great. Okay, good. So you're good. You're good to go. You don't need the reminders. Just put them on your calendar.
Okay.
All right. Good. Okay. Who else? Nobody? Lynn, do you have anything you want to share?
Do I have anything I want to share? Well, I could tell you all that this is a really great time to spend planning. We have until August all together, so it's a really great time to look at where you've been, where you are now, and where you're going. What do you want? When we started this program, we had you fill out that form that says, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be at the end of 12 months? Well, now is a good time to say, okay, look at that. Am I where I wanted to be at that point in time? And what do I need to do to get to that point?
And being realistic, that's great, because being realistic about what have I not done? You know, have I not been managing my blood sugar? Have I not been checking my blood sugar? Blood pressure is another thing. If you've had blood pressure issues, it's a good idea to keep a monitor on it and see if you can figure out what's causing it to go high. And are there particular tests that you've been like, I'm going to start trying to save some money. I don't want to get the test done. But the reality of tests, functional tests, I love, right? But I also don't think that everybody has to do them. But when you see an indication that you need it, you have to be willing to do the test and be willing to test it again in 3 to 4 months to see if what you're doing to address it is actually clearing up. So if you've had some tests you've run and you've had some abnormals and we've recommended some, you know, course of action, if you've taken course of action, but you haven't gone back in to retest it, it might be a good time to consider retesting. That's why I said to Susanna, you know, she did a couple of tests a year ago and things have changed since then. So I don't want to give her advice based on a year old test. That would be irresponsible. Right. But I want to be able to have her look at that and we can look to see what's changed, what has improved, like looking at her cholesterol numbers. Yay. They've gotten a lot better. But because of the APOE4/4, you do it. It's best to do the detailed one just to make sure that stuff's on track. And if it's not, there may be particular nutrients, herbs, et cetera, that you're not doing that we could add or specific food regimes. The other thing is if you're not at the weight that you want to be at, let's do the chronometer or fit day or whatever other app you want to do and actually really look realistically. Cause I was saying a couple of weeks ago, why am I gaining weight? That doesn't make sense. Well, I wasn't sleeping. So my leptin levels and ghrelin levels were off, hungry all the time and eating between meals. That would explain it, right? So there's things I need to do to address that and get myself back on track. Right. And you know, I've always been fanatical about my weight, so I don't ever let it get more than a couple of pounds. And I go, don't like that. Let's do something about it. But let's be realistic about it. You know, if things were better and now they're not, like some people say, well, last year when I was doing the sweet spot, all this stuff was better. And now I'm going, you know, worse again. Let's look realistically. What were you doing during that period of time that you're not doing now? And let's make sure that we find the things that work. If the things work, let's find them and go back and do them again and keep doing them, right? And make a lifestyle out of the things that work.
But what's important in all of that is to have that vision of what it is you, and be realistic about that vision. Because now we're kind of at that halfway mark and you see what it's taken because you started out with this glorious vision of a year from now I'm going to be, and now you're halfway there, and it's like, okay, this is what I said. How is that any different? And so taking that time to, and reality is what you make of it. It's to assess your commitment to yourself and the time that you allocate for all of these things. And what is it you're going to do? And it's like you said with the testing, it's like, okay, you're going to get this test and it's going to tell you something. Is that going to prod you on to do something else? You know, and that's for myself. That's why I don't do a lot of testing. It's like, okay, I'll do this. I'll spend the money. I'll get the test. I'll look at them and go, will that change any of my actions? Maybe not. And that's not a judgment call on my part about myself. It's just like, oh, look, Lynn's choosing that she's just not going to do anything about it. And it's the same for you guys. When you look at doing testing, it's like, huh, I'm feeling like I won't do anything. What is that saying about me?
Yeah, and am I committed to the outcome really? And is there something in my psyche, in my emotional body, in my energetic body that's not really committed, even though I might have said the words? And if that's the case, then, you know, sometimes there's a real fear around actually getting better. I mean, there's sometimes a fear around stepping into that beautiful, vibrant body, that life that you want, that maybe there's some underlying psychological, energetic things that are holding you back from that. Not always, but sometimes there are, you know?
Well,
so it's realistic to look at that. Like for you, you know, with the vitamin D of 8, consistency in doing it and not going back and doing it again. What does that say about, are you
right? And I totally get all of that. And, you know, Kimberly was sharing, I think it was last December, about the plasticity of the brain and how the brain remembers things. And sometimes as we're remembering, we're in a particular situation, it remembers something from the past that says, you know, something happened. You got scared by a dog. So now every time you see a dog, your brain remembers you're afraid of dogs. And that may not be the current reality, but that's just what
you're programmed in there.
Programmed in your brain. And it's comforting. It's like, it's really easy to just put your car in the ditch and sit there rather than trying to get it out. It's just easy to remember rather than doing the work to get your car out. That's, I don't know how else to do it.
And the thing is, it's not, you know, people will say, well, I want to get better. It's not my fault. No, I'm not saying it's your fault. To say that there may be some subconscious pattern that's getting in the way doesn't mean it's your fault. It means that it's programmed in there, this self-sabotage, this you're not good enough, that maybe you got imprinted on you from the time you were little, you don't deserve it, etc.
And this is a scientific fact. It's not some like, ooh, it's a scientific fact, because your brain creates certain chemicals when certain events happen, and it reacts every time that same situation happens, and it brings up those chemical reactions to create that sense of fear or happiness or joy or whatever. And what you're being asked to do is to just stop and look around and go, is this what's really happening? And that's all that's really about.
Yeah. You know, we're all about, you know, there's some basic human needs, right, that we all have. And of course, food is one of them. Breath is another one. Community, love, that's a real basic human need. And being safe, it's, you know, that's what animals
survival
figure it out. It's survival. And so if there's something pre-programmed in your memory bank, in your psyche, that says this isn't safe, then you're going to fall into a pattern of creating safety. And so this happens sometimes for women who have been sexually assaulted or molested. They will not drop that extra weight, because that extra weight is protection. If I don't look sexy and attractive to the opposite sex, I won't get molested again. You know what I mean? And we're not thinking about that consciously, But the subconscious is, because it created this protection pattern, this defense pattern to keep you safe at a time when it wasn't really safe. And some of the stuff that Laura Fine teaches that I love is the whole safe, I forget what she calls it, the three-step whatever process, safety process, whatever. But you basically stop. And when you're feeling that a little bit anxious about, did I do that right? Did I eat that right? Did I take that supplement right? Did I, right? You can stop yourself and you can just feel the anxiety and go, okay, look around. Am I safe? Is there an exit, right? You're not physically threatened, but your body's going into a reaction mode as if you're physically unsafe and threatened. And when you can look around and go, okay, there's the exit, okay? At worst case is I can climb down the side of the house on the bricks, out that window. Okay, I am safe, right? If a hungry tiger comes running in here, I'm going to go lock myself into that bathroom, all right? So I am safe. And then you do this embrace on your body, and she calls it the little butterfly, Lynn calls it the butterfly thing. But like you basically, you're tapping, and Laura does this thing that says, I am here. Because whenever you're in fear mode, you are not here. You're in the future worrying about, am I doing the right things to put myself, you know, in a safe place? Or you're in the past, right? Fearing that that same thing is going to repeat itself. I am here. She has you say over and over, I am here. I am here. I am here. And when we live in the now, it's hard to have fear and anxiety. Because you just look at the actual moment. What's there for me to be anxious about right now? There really isn't. None of you are going to jump out of the screen and bite me, right? Maybe you'll think I'm crazy for talking about this stuff. And, you know, I don't know. But I am safe right here and right now. But if I live in the future, what if, what if, what if, what if, then I'm going to create anxiety over something that may never happen. Right. Somebody mentioned, I can't remember where I read this, but it's like worry is like paying a mortgage on the house in case you get it next month. That doesn't make any sense. Right. You're going to pay for the stuff you have. Right. And when, you know, you worry that it's not going to happen, that it is going to happen. Like my husband will say something like, you know, we're going to go on a trip or something. The next day he goes, well, I hope the weather's okay in that. You kind of that stress mode, right? Well, I hope the weather's okay. I'm like, we have no control. The weather is going to be what it's going to be, and we're going to make the best of it. Whatever it is, right? And that's not my my normal nature. And I still have to stop myself and remind myself, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Let's control the things we can control, and let's not worry about the ones that we can't. And sometimes it's stopping ourselves as our body goes into that biochemical reaction to just stop and do the little touch. Do the little, I am here. I am safe. I am here. I am safe. Okay, what's my next step? What am I going to do to help push myself in the direction of where I want to be going? As opposed to worrying that, what if I do the same thing again? And what if that happens again? And what if that I meet another man and he leaves me? And, oh, you know, what if I eat that food and I get a bad reaction? What if, what if, what if? Let's be present. Make sense? You're all kind of looking at me like, I'm not sure.
Well, in that David Bayer program, the Mind Hack program, he calls to do otherwise is unintelligent thinking. And because it's not reality, it's not seeing what's real. It's yeah.
And he talks about a suffering state. We put ourselves into a suffering state. And so why do you want to put yourself into a suffering state when you can put yourself into a beautiful state? Why don't you just think about all the positive things that could happen? Do you ever see anybody sitting there like, what if I go out the window and then, oh my God, there's suddenly this palm tree in my yard and it's blossoming and it's producing all these dates and coconuts and all that. Nobody thinks that way. What if I wake up in the morning and there's an ocean in my backyard? Like, we don't think about that, but we think, what if I wake up tomorrow morning and there's a flood, right? We think silly things like that. right? So let's try to reframe and put ourselves into that beautiful state over and over again. When you catch yourself, going, okay, like Diana, you have a lot of, you express a lot of these good, positive stuff. Oh yeah, but I'm going to drive through 14 inches of snow and ice and it might be slippery, but I'm going to see buffalo along the way. Isn't that cool? Right? So she's thinking of the positive things that are going to happen on that treacherous drive, not, oh my God, what if, what if, what if? Because that's a survival thing, right? And it creates this state of what we really want versus what we don't want. And those people who are really big into law of attraction will say, you know, our vibration, whatever we're thinking about, we can manifest. Well, you know, you have to do the work. But when you think just the disempowering thoughts, you're more likely to attract the actions and the environment that's going to keep you in that state. Right. So, yeah, anyway.
There's that synchronicity thinking that happens, like when you decide you want to get a red car, a red Jeep or something, and then all of a sudden, all you see are red Jeeps. Or not that I'm thinking this one anymore, but when I was younger, I was thinking about getting pregnant. All of a sudden, all I saw were pregnant women. No worries there. That one's not happening. But it's that same type of thing. If you make a decision to eat a certain way or exercise, or when you make that commitment, it's everything happens that you see that. You might run into people that are doing the same thing. You might talk to a friend and they're wanting to do the same thing. There's a synchronicity, but it happens when you make that commitment to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it can be very empowering.
I love what Lynn Rose said, because that's what I was trying to say, but she says it so much more eloquently. Worrying about the past creates grief, and worrying about the future creates anxiety. And being in the present creates wonder and curiosity and joy. If you just be there. Yeah. I mean, if you're in the middle of a disaster and it's tornadoing around you, you know, you're kind of having a hard time with that, but you can still say, okay, I'm going to take actions right this moment that's going to get me to safety tomorrow. Not think, oh, the last time we had a hurricane, the whole house blew in and it cost me $5,000. No, I'm going to get myself to safety. What do I have to do here and now? And when you can keep yourself present, you keep yourself in the prefrontal cortex, which is the thinking brain that gets you out of trouble. When you are stressed and worrying or grieving, you stay in your limbic brain, in your lizard brain, which just knows about fight, flight, or freeze. And that doesn't help you at all in your present moment. Fight, flight, or freeze, no. Presence. Yeah. Cool. All right, anybody else have any last parting words before we close? And Lynn says,
I got one more little win that I forgot to put in my thing today.
If yes. That's okay.
The bitter orange recipe that I found and I made up.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put pictures of the before and the after. I did start it on the new moon, Lynn. It was right on the new moon.
Awesome.
I strained it on the full moon and it is astonishing. It is delicious. I love it. I have trouble just taking a little bit of it.
You have a trouble. That's what I did with licorice tincture once, and I ended up with hypertension.
It's got
this one won't give you hypertension, but
yeah, it's got orange, it's got licorice, vanilla bean, so there, and some clove. So it's got some good flavors to it and some sweetness. And the bitter part is elecampane, which is an exceptional lung herb that's an expectorant. And guess what I need? I have trouble with the elecampane because it's too strong to take straight.
There you
so
go.
I dug up fresh elecampane for this, that and dandelion, and I think there's one other bitter, but yeah. And it was fresh right out of the garden.
That sounds like Grand Marnier to me.
Grand Marnier.
It's astonishing. I'll put a link to the recipe, and maybe I'll put the pictures that I took during the process so you can see
it's kind of fun. You know, it's one thing. Maybe we could get you to teach us a workshop on creating some tinctures, and everybody could get some of their favorite herbs or ones that are, you know, really indicated for them, and just have fun making it, because there's something about making your own stuff and then having that around that, and it can be a fun day, especially if we do it together. So think about that.
Very small group, I could probably handle it. Big group, no.
How many?
About the size of our group calls here is about right.
Yeah, because we have an ERC. I think we have another. It's just the smaller group. What do you call it? Workshop, and we could maybe do it as part of that.
Sure. Well, we'll definitely put that in the future plans.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
In the meantime, I can throw up a couple of threads. I was going to do that with the elderberry tincture, and it kind of hit me at the wrong time of my life in this program when I was at my lowest spot. So I didn't get around to doing that, but I also have another one. And it's very simple to start with a single herb. These combination ones are a little bit, more involved.
Yeah.
That's where I started, was elderberry tincture. And it's literally idiot proof. There's nobody that can't make it. You put the elderberries in the jar, you pour the alcohol on it, you shake it every day for about 6 weeks, and then you strain it.
Well, one of the ways we could do it is to have you go through the booklet we put together. That's the, Lynn and I did this one together. The, what's it called? The culinary herbs, like the medicine cabinet in your kitchen, right? And just read through that, because there's most likely the herbs you already have. And pick the one that really calls to you as like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good one for me. And if none of them do, then you can do some Google searching, but on specific symptoms. But then we take that and then we do the.
Yeah, it'd be good to know if different herbs have different mixing ratios, like how many ounces or pounds of herbal powder do you mix with, a quart or a gallon of vodka or whatever you use. And then recommendations on the type of vodka. Can you just buy regular old cheapo vodka, or do you buy something that's
organic grain alcohol?
Higher class.
Or grain alcohol or grape. There are places that sell organic grape.
Yeah, there's a place in Oregon that sells the grape vodka. So. Yeah.
And there are different ratios. And I know, in my herbal training with David Winston, he talked, like, for example, milk thistle requires about 85% alcohol versus some others may require 45 or 50% alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking about.
I spent the last 20 years gathering up books and things like that that have that kind of information in them. It's not just each herb has its different ratio. It also is some you want to do fresh, some you don't want to do dried. Some extract better in water than and better as a decoction or a tea. Have to have 95% alcohol. So there's just so many different
aspects
to it. It isn't quite as simple, but the thing is, it's just to start and try something. And in like Rita Marie says, there's this little recipe book, and there's some little things you can do with just spices out of cupboard.
Out of your cupboard, yeah.
And make some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
You can even take just cloves and pour some oil over them and let that shake that up. You can use that as like a numbing thing for your mouth if you have gum.
Oh, that's a good idea to do it with oil. Yeah.
Because clove oil is actually an extraction, but it has to be diluted before it's used.
Oh, yeah.
So, you can do the same thing by just taking a little tiny bottle and put 6 cloves in it and then cover them with some oil. And, just wait about 6 weeks and kind of shake it every once in a while.
Okay. That's a good one for everybody to have in their medicine cabinet, by the way. If you're bound to at some point in your life get a toothache.
Right. It's free. I mean, it doesn't cost anything.
Right. Six cloves costs maybe a cent.
it's pretty cool. So anyway, there's a lot of things.
There's some fun things we could do with that. That would be fun. That would be fun for Lynn. We'd love to do that too, I bet, because she loves the herbal things. Maybe we can get Lynn and Diana to put together a little class that we do together. We'll chat about it because I think it would be really fun, and maybe Lynn Rose too, because you guys are all into the herbal stuff. And, I'd love to, I have a 2-year certification in herbs. I'm going through another one with restorative medicine, but they're more from the medicinal use of the herbs versus the actual making of the tinctures and stuff. And I know some of them you can do in apple cider vinegar, which, that's an easy one to do for everybody in their home. You just take the apple cider vinegar and a certain ratio, whatever. I don't know what those ratios are without looking them up. And it's not that hard. It's just that because I've never done it, it's really nice to be with people who've done it to say, okay, next do this, next do that. Same way with my cooking classes, right? You can pick up my recipe guide and you can make it, but if you actually see it made, you go, oh, that's pretty easy. I can do that. Yeah.
So one thing I would tell every, go ahead. Sorry.
No, just to say, it becomes addictive. Once you start, it's like, oh, this was fun. I want to try something else. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, to me, the best and easiest thing for everybody to do to get into this is to go sit outside and just be there and kind of look around and go, okay, what do I see around me? And just make note of it. I will confess that I talk to them and say, okay, who wants to have a conversation? But just being there will teach you so much.
Absolutely. That was actually one of our homework assignments from David Winston. Now, David Winston he's Cherokee. He's part Cherokee, so he's trained in that. He's trained in Ayurvedic. He's trained in Chinese medicine, Western herbs. But he's also this very, you know, he like the spiritual aspects of the plant. So he would say, go out in the garden and just find an herb that you don't really know much about, right? And just sit with it and ask it for some guidance. And he said that's how he figured out using, I think it was nettle seeds for somebody with some kidney issues. And he was going out in the garden and he was just like, oh, this person, and I don't know which, you know, what to do. And he's like, it's almost like that plant called to him. And he tried it and it worked. Mm-hmm. He was really excited and he tried it again and again with other people and it worked. So it's really, because I think metal leaf is the one we use for, you know, for minerals and for sinuses and stuff. And then the nettle root, I can't remember which one he said though. One of them is for prostate. It really works well for prostate type stuff, prostate enlargement. And then this other one, he hadn't read about it anywhere, but it was like, oh, use me, you know, that kind of thing. And you may not hear words like use me. I mean, then people think you're crazy and you're hallucinating, or what is it, auditory hallucinations. Maybe you do hear it that way. Or maybe you just feel yourself gravitating towards a particular area and a particular herb that's in your garden or in the park or anywhere on the shelf at the store.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot in the garden. As I'm harvesting something and I'm on my way back to clean it off and hose it, you know, some other plant will catch my attention and start talking to me.
So, you know, there you go.
Take me. I'm for that too.
That's great.
I've learned more about herbs by listening to them, because then I'll have that curiosity and I'll go dig up the books and start
the book. Got
a library of books, and they all say something different about every herb. So I'll sit there with 20, 30 books until I find, and then there'll always be one that says, aha, the plant was right.
Yeah.
Something new. So it's fun. Talk to the
plant. It's been a great hobby that you've done, and it can create an avocation for you as well. I know you want to do it just for fun and you give your tinctures away to people, but it's really cool to find something you love so much.
Yeah. And I share it. I get to share it. That's all I want to do. I just want to share it. And I do try to get people interested in making their own, because it has changed my life so much. This relationship with nature and it's just it's more than just the herbs and, you know, product itself. It's more about just getting somebody else enthusiastic and turn them into a crazy herbalist.
Well, I would say for all of us, an easy way to do it. I mean, there's tons of advice out there, and you can get yourself overwhelmed. Just go into ERC on that. What is it on the protocols, healing protocols page? There's a book that's the herbs in your medicine cabinet. And just read those, because most likely you have those on your shelf, right? The herbs, well, the medicine cabinet that's in your kitchen, something like that. And most likely you're going to have basil and thyme and oregano. And what are some of the ones you gravitate towards flavor-wise? Look them up and see what they actually do and what some of the indications are for them. And it may be one that you really gravitate towards. I found that with cordyceps. I didn't know much about cordyceps when I first was like, oh, reishi, cordyceps and all these herbs. And I started to learn about them. And I just was like, oh, cordyceps just grabbed me. Cordyceps. I need cordyceps. I want cordyceps. And I started reading about it. I'm like, oh, no wonder. You know, it's for when you're pushing yourself hard and you just need to have the stamina to keep going. I mean, it's also for lungs and for kidneys, and it's an adaptogen, but that was the piece of it that grabbed me. I'm like, oh, no wonder my body's been saying yes to cordyceps. And I use cordyceps in everything. I mean, I put it in lots of stuff. I put it in my favorite chocolate little bonbons and all that kind of stuff just to, you know, just to make it good for me. So. All right, guys, have a great, oh, you have something, Krishya?
Yes. I wanted to, I was inspired by the herbs, but first I wanted to tell you, I love your Saturday food prep shows.
Oh, thank you. Yay.
They're wonderful. And this Saturday, I make a little batch of chocolate for myself every week. This week, I was inspired to put some kale and some sorrel in, which is what I happen to have fresh. And I was astonished. It gave it almost like a professional depth that nobody on the planet, apart from you probably, would ever have guessed that there was kale and sorrel in there. It was just mysterious, you know, depth in the chocolate.
That's great. I love it. Yeah, we served those. I made all those little Easter eggs, and we made them into Easter eggs. We put them in the fridge for a while to harden them, and then we put them out at our potluck that night. People were like, oh, these are good. Oh, these green speckled eggs. I like these, you know. Yeah, there's kale in those eggs.
Yeah, I'm going to make more. I'm going to make some for people because it was a real surprise, you know, how good they were.
Yeah, and it's a great way to get people to, especially little ones, but even the picky adults, the picky elders and the little ones especially are the ones you have to, you know, sneak things into to get them to eat more of their veggies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's a clever idea. The herbs, I was inspired. I remembered the year before last, I went to a little herbal group with this wonderful herbal man in England. And at one point, he gave us a big a root covered in earth. It was just a root. And he said, right, I want you to tell me all about this root. And he left it with us and went out. And I thought, what a ridiculous exercise. How can I don't know this root. I have no idea it's a root. And guess what? I was completely astonished. Not only, and I've never seen this plant before, and I've never grown this plant, I actually guessed what it was. It was a mallow plant. But I also felt and intuited into it. And he told me that my description was as good as any in a herbal book, if not better. He thought I went above and beyond, and I was just beyond astonished.
You too.
Smelling, maybe, you know, tasting.
Right, that's what I said, you smell it,
feeling.
Yeah.
It was magical. I was really chuffed because I thought, this is ludicrous. There's no way we're going to guess this. And even the name came to me. Even the name. It's a mallow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. So,
thank you for inspiring reminding me of that.
Well, you have, if you have an intuitive, you know, you tend to be an intuitive kind of person, you know, you can do it with people, right? I can feel into what people are thinking, you know, without, and kind of can go down that path and sense their hesitations or their fears. But why not do that with plants too? They're living things as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the ancients must have done.
Oh, I'm sure. How did we get all this wisdom? Exactly. Right? They didn't have books to go. They didn't have 30 books to go look it up in. They just had their sense of taste and smell and, you know, it's cool.
And they probably just knew that every single thing out there, every plant is a gift from God and it's medicinal. Every single thing.
Well, not every single one necessarily. So some of them apparently have some alkaloids that are can be poisonous. Right? And we have to know how to differentiate.
We have to know.
And there might have been a few mishaps and, Mary Sue over there died from eating that plant, so we're not going to eat that one.
But in, you know, homeopathic doses sometimes, even poisonous plants can be...
Belladonna and some of those others that are very potent homeopathic medicines that we're just doing very, very, very dilute amounts. And the more is better. This goes back to what Susanna was saying. Do you like to be called Susie? I see you write Susie. Is that what you like to be called, Susanna? Oh, unmute. There we go.
Suze.
Okay, Suze.
Suze or Susanna, it doesn't matter.
Suze or Susanna. So Suze, what you were saying earlier was, I'm just getting full, but I'm going to keep eating it, because she said I should eat 8 cups of this stuff a day, right? Tune in to your body going, okay, I've had enough, right? Because everything has some of those chemical properties that in excess can be a problem. Somebody on our call on Monday night, was that last night? Seems like so long ago, was talking about how she's drinking eight cups a day of kale juice. And I was like, well, maybe we should cut back on that. And well, she was juicing 8 cups of kale a day, but even that, kale after kale after kale after kale, 8 cups a day, that's not a good idea, right? We want to have variety and stuff. So we, you know, I explained that to her. But yeah, it was kind of freaked me out when I saw 8 cups a day of kale juice. I'm like, but that is a little bit too much probably, right? So we have to tune in to too much of a good thing is a bad thing as well. And tune into when's enough. Interesting, that just brought up a quote that's a friend of mine who, she has a business that where she teaches entrepreneurs, and she takes people down to areas in South America where there's these indigenous cultures, and she's actually collects funds, and she goes down and she helps these women to create businesses on their own. So it's not that she gives people money or gives them food. She actually helps them and gives them the funds to be able to create their own business. Oh, look at you guys over there. You're doing this braiding and this beautiful stuff. Let's create a business from it. But what she said is they gave her a message, and it was an elder who didn't speak English, so that was through translation. And she said, I have a message for her to take, you to take back. Tell, why are your women not telling the men to stop? She said, in the indigenous cultures, the men go out and they cut down and they whack down and they capture the animals or whatever they're doing, capture the plants, bring it back to feed the family. And the women tell them when it's enough. And so in our country, she said, yeah, the men are going out and being a little bit more aggressive, whatever the analogy was, but the women need to learn to tell them to stop. It's enough. And we need to learn to look at our bodies and say, okay, it's enough. I've had enough. I've had enough of this thing. I'm going to move to this thing and this thing and this thing. Mm. And when we get, when we have a problem with that, it's like, you know, if you think physiologically about the appetite balance, you know, ghrelin and leptin, right? Ghrelin says I'm hungry. Leptin says I'm full. When you throw that out of balance and the hunger is there, then we just keep overeating, you know? And so it can be the same with anything, with emotions, with sex, with gambling, with any kind of addictions, where the mechanism to turn it off and say it's enough doesn't get satisfied, and we just keep going beyond, and then we get into danger zones. So, anything else before we go?
What's the meditation thing you wear? Because I've been meditating since the 70s and I'm still rubbish at it.
Well, I'm the Muse. You may not want to get it because you may find that it confirms that you're rubbish, but it may confirm that you're really good. And you may be just the fact that you sit down and do it, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, like the gurus do. It's still something. And whether it's 10%, 20%, 30% that registers as the calm state. Like today, I was surprised. I had 51%. But I was on my third one. So I do it I do the first one. I'm like, oh, that was bad. Okay, I'm going to do another one. I had extra time. And I'm like, oh, that was better, but not so good. So I did the third one. I got up to 51%. So if that was for 10 minutes, that was over five minutes that I was in a really just calm, my mind was completely calm, and I was only focusing on my breath. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's called the Muse. My husband's been doing it for longer than I have, and I'd been trying to get him to meditate for years, and heart math and meditation, and he just didn't have the patience for it. Found out about this thing, started it, and he has been doing it every single day since the day he got it. And they tell you how many days in a row you've been meditating. And so he won't miss a day of meditation because he's up to like 1,200 days of meditation straight. You think he's going to miss and break a 1,200-day streak, you know? So it's almost the competitive thing. But he does it, and he gets way better than me. He'll say on a bad day, his is in the 60s. That's his bad day. And I'm like, oh, that's like a really good day for me, you know? So he's able to shut his mind off completely and do it, which is a great, great thing for somebody who tends to be hypervigilant with MAO and GAD SNPs in there. You know, we'll learn more about that in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
And have you noticed a difference in him?
Oh my God. Night and day.
Really?
Other people say the same thing. A friend of mine said, wow, Scott's like one of the most laid back people I know. Right. And it wasn't like that when he was not doing it. He would snap off and he'd fly off the handle, not at me, but at himself, and be impatient. And he'd always be yelling at something at the computer or whatever. And now he takes everything more in stride. He still has his moments, but I've noticed a huge difference in our relationship as well. Huge difference. Yeah. It's extremely, and it's heavenly to me. So yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you everybody for all your stuff. Paul, we didn't hear anything from you. Just at least say hi and let's hear your voice. Susan's there. At least let's hear your voice. Say hi. Thank you for being here and being always here and being absorbing and sponges when you're not participating or asking. I so appreciate it. I'll open everybody's line so we can say goodbye to each other. Bye everybody. See you soon.
Bye. Another fantastic call.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Susan. Bye-bye.